Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Full patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess and Anita, husband and wife team on Fridays. We're talking about spiritual warfare today, and the spiritual warfare topic is going to be the 3 days of darkness. Let me give a little overview of the 3 days of darkness, why I believe it. I think my wife believes it as well. Anita, you've read these 3 days of darkness. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I stand because based on Scripture, Jesus, the theological principles of where Jesus was, he was on the earth for 3 days. I mean, he died and 3 hours. There's a lot of scriptural basis on the 3 days. So that's where I stand.
Yeah. As Catholics, we have to believe in public revelation. You don't have to believe in private revelation. The 3 days of darkness is an eschatological, which means an end time belief. And it's based on the private revelation of two mystics that are on the process of canonization. There's other people that purportedly have claimed the 3 days of darkness, but they're not mystics. They're not recognized by the church. And we'll deal with the Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio one at the end. That's false. And we'll go through the specifics at the end because somebody actually investigated it. But the 3 days of darkness, this time of incredible eschatological chastisement, it also comports with the 10 plagues that God brought upon Egypt in the book of Exodus. But specifically, I think why me and my wife really believe in the 3 days of darkness is because, again, our Lord spent 3 days in a tomb. He spent 3 days in darkness. And again, that's a theological principle that whatever happens to Jesus, the head, is going to happen to his body, the church. But what about prophecies? What does the Catholic Church say about prophecies? The Catholic Encyclopedia, it gives us some guidelines on prophecies. It says, as the term is used in mystical theology, it applies to both the prophecies of canonical scripture and to private prophecies. Again, we must believe what's in scripture. Okay, that's the public revelation. Private revelation, the church has always seen, okay, does this private revelation comport with what the church has been teaching for 2,000 years? That's one of the criteria that the church uses. It makes sure that what's being said comports to 2,000 years of church teaching. And it is a divine light, prophecies by which God reveals certain things concerning the unknown future, by which these things are in some way represented by the mind of a prophet. For example, you know, Our Lady Guadalupe, without a doubt, has and Our Lady's apparitions all over the place. She has a prophetic ministry, a prophetic role in salvation history. And it's been her duty to manifest to all of us certain things about these Marian prophecies regarding salvation history. But as a Catholic, you've got to use prudence. And the Catholic attitude should be prudence and balance. We should always be careful and slow in accepting or rejecting, especially the prophecies that come from trustworthy sources. If they don't contradict Catholic teaching and they're trustworthy sources, then again, it's a prudent thing to believe in them. And again, we also have to see how they measure up with what public revelation teaches. Private prophecies are to be judged based on what the church has always taught. And also, who's teaching them? If it's a saintly person, obviously it's going to have much more credibility. And the prophecies regarding the latter times, obviously, we're going to be talking about this one mystic because a lot comes from the life of Anna Maria Taigi. Anna Maria Taigi. And they all point to some very terrible convulsions and to a revolution springing from mostly deep-rooted impiety that's going to be happening. And I think we're living in impious times right now. If you want to know what impious means, it means a profane times, irreverent times, heretical times, blasphemous times, times of a lot of sin and injustice. These are very impious times. And we're going to get right into some of the things that she says. But remember also that the Fatima prophecies fit exactly into this category when Our Lady spoke of a terrible chastisement if men do not repent and amend their lives. But she also gave hope by promising that in the end, her immaculate heart will triumph. And through all these prophecies, me and my wife just say, Jesus, I trust in you. Really, that's the best approach to take. And the last thing before we get right into the prophecies of the 3 days of darkness, the best approach to private revelations is what St. Paul says. He says it to the Thessalonians. He says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophesying, but test everything. There you go. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. So what do you mean test? We got to make sure that these private revelations comport to what God has revealed in the Holy Bible. So let's get into the 3 days of darkness. Okay.
You know, in the scriptures, we find references to the days of darkness. The most familiar perhaps being the ninth plague that fell on Pharaoh and the Egyptians during the time of Moses. You remember that in the Old Testament Exodus. But the Lord said to, and this is what it says, but the Lord said to Moses, extend your hand toward heaven, and may there be darkness upon the land of Egypt, so dense that it may be felt. And Moses extended his hand toward heaven, and a horrible darkness occurred in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. There you go. There's those 3 days. No one saw his brother, nor moved himself from the place where he was. But whatsoever the sons of Israel lived there was light. So everybody in Jerusalem that were Jews and that were Israelis, they were in the light. That's Exodus 10:21-23.
Let me mention something important. As Catholics, let's remember biblical theology. Israel represents the Catholic Church. This is what all the fathers of the church teach. The Catholic Church is the new Israel of God. So when you see things happening in the Old Testament, these things are going to happen again to the church. And again, in the days of Moses, Pharaoh, he was impious, blasphemous, heretical, sinful. That reminds me of a lot of countries right now. I love this country, but this country right now is the modern-day Egypt, okay? Because of specifically one party more than anything else, the party of the culture of death, you know what I'm talking about. And they've turned much parts of this country into spiritual Egypt. And again, we have to look at God's character. If he's done this in the past, guess what? He can do it again in the future. Why? Because he's God. So we already see a pattern of the way he chastises. Isaiah the prophet also says something else underneath about this.
Yeah, the Isaiah Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19-11, he says, and he spoke of this is where he speaks of the day of darkness. Behold, the day of the Lord shall come, a cruel day, and full of indignation and of wrath and fury, to lay the land of desolate and destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and their brightness shall not display their light. The sun shall be darkened in his rising, and the moon shall not shine with her light. And I will visit the evils of the world, and against the wicked for their iniquity, I will make the pride of infidels to cease, and will bring down the arrogance of the mighty. Here we see that the Lord is going to cause wrath and cause darkness at this point.
Very important, because now we have Moses saying this in Exodus 10 and Isaiah. So there's two prophets that are talking about God will bring a time of darkness. Two different prophets in the Old Testament. And when you look at the New Testament, we also learn that a cloak of darkness enveloped the world. Think about this. Remember? For 3 hours, I know it wasn't 3 days, but 3 hours, when did that happen? When our Lord died on Calvary. And the three evangelists, Matthew 27:45, Mark 15:33, Luke 23:44, the three evangelists say that when Jesus died, the world became dark for 3 hours. So there's a lot of this 3:3:3. In the Bible about darkness. This is why it makes sense to me about in the future, there will be 3 days of darkness. And let's not forget, once again, the biblical principle. What happens to Jesus, the head, will happen to his church, the body. That's a biblical principle. And remember, our Lord spent 3 days of darkness himself in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. So as to not belabor the point, we're going to go, in the next segment, we're going to go right to probably the two witnesses that are credible, because again, they're blessed and venerable. These are modern day prophecies that happened a few hundred years ago. And so these prophecies are based on solid ground, again, based on what the Bible has already showed, what God has done in the past. So on the next segment, we're going to go to these recent revelations from these days of darkness that are mentioned by two women that are in the process of canonization. One of them is Blessed Ana Maria Taigi, Blessed Ana Maria Taigi. And the other one is Venerable Elizabeth Canori Mora. Man, these saints have long names, or these future saints, long names. I wish they just had a first and a last name.
They're Italian.
So we're going to get right into this on the next segment. And here's just kind of a good news for a lot of you that are already doing the Exilium Christianorum prayers. You know, on that website, exiliumchristianorum.org, it has a little link that says requirements. If you're following the requirements of the Exilium Christianorum, having a votive candle, doing the rosary every day, doing those prayers, you're ready for the 3 days of darkness. So if you want to get ready, if you think these prophecies are true, which we do, go to auxiliumchristianorum.org, read the requirements, and start living them. We'll be ready.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this Word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol Jesus 911, husband and wife team, Jess and Anita. Now we're going to go into the actual words of the two mystics that are in the process of canonization that have spoken of the 3 days of darkness. And so you'll hear them from their own words, and maybe we'll make a comment or two.
And we're going to start with Blessed Anna Maria Taigi. She lived in the 19th century in Italy. And though she was an ordinary housewife and a mother, Blessed Anna Maria Taigi had an exemplary spiritual and Christian life that gained her the reputation as one of the greatest saints of all time. She also experienced frequent ecstasies, performed miraculous cures, read hearts, foretold deaths, and predicted the coming of future events. She also foretold the first two world wars that wreaked the havoc in the 20th century.
Now, if that doesn't speak volumes about her credibility, she predicted World War I and World War II, and they happened. If that isn't a litmus test that God was using her as a prophet, I don't know what else would convince you. But we'll continue with Blessed Anna Marie Taigi.
Yeah, after Blessed Anna Maria Taigi passed away, 18 years after her death, her body remained supple and incorrupt. Wow, isn't that amazing? That's another. And amid the praises of Pope Benedict XV, he beatified her on May 20th, 1920. So 2 days ago, that was her anniversary of her being beatified. And also, the following is her revelation about 3 days of darkness. Here we go.
Her actual words.
Her actual words, and here we go. God will send two punishments. One will be in the form of wars, revolutions, and other evils. It shall originate on earth. The other will be sent from heaven. There shall come over the whole earth an intense darkness lasting 3 days and three nights. There we go. It's clear. She said it. Nothing can be seen, and the air will be laden with pestilence, which will claim mainly, but not only, the enemies of religion. It will be impossible to use any man-made lighting during this darkness. So no lights, no light switches, everybody. Okay, nothing's going to work. No internet, nothing. Except blessed candles. He who out of curiosity opens his window to look out or leaves his home will fall dead on the spot. During these 3 days, people should remain in their homes, pray the rosary, and beg God for mercy. All the enemies of the church, whether known or unknown, will perish over the whole earth during that universal darkness, with the exception of a few whom God will soon convert. So there you go. She's saying that there's those that will perish, but there's those that won't. And there's those that are heretics that will convert also. We'll continue. The air shall be infected by demons who will appear under all sorts of hideous forms. She says, religion shall be persecuted and priests massacred, churches shall be closed, but only for a short time. The Holy Father shall be obliged to leave Rome.
So that's the first visionary. Very clear. Blessed Anna Maria Taigi, 19th century Italian. She doesn't mince words. It's very clear the eschatological turmoil that's going to happen when these 3 days of darkness happens towards the end of time, before the second coming of Christ. Once again, let me just make a caveat here. My wife and myself believe these to be true, not so much on just what these credible mystics say. And they're you have incredulous mystics. That's somebody who says, I'm a mystic, listen to me. I said, get out of here, be quiet. Then you have credible mystics, somebody whose body's incorrupt, somebody who's predicted two world wars and they happened. You know, somebody, her body's incorrupt. I mean, that says a whole lot. And now we're going to go to the second mystic. But more than anything, we believe in these mystics based on what the Word of God says. These things have already happened in the past. My wife read it from Isaiah and from the book of Exodus. God has already given a time of darkness, 3 days of darkness in the book of Exodus. And Christ spent 3 days of darkness himself in a tomb. And again, here's the biblical principle Jesse Romero follows that I learned from Scott Hahn, okay, who's probably the greatest Bible teacher in the world. What happens to Jesus is going to happen to the church. That's a biblical principle that I can prove over and over again. And so if Christ spent 3 days of darkness, he's the head of the church. It makes sense what these mystics are saying, that we, the church, will spend 3 days of darkness as well, just like Christ did.
And, you know, there's where it says, where she said, she speaks on the blessed candles. We, the Romero family here, I've always had blessed candles in our home burning 24/7. We buy a box of candles. We get the prayer from the Auxilium Christian Orum. They have the prayer for blessed candles, the exorcism for blessed candles. And we take it to the priest. He blesses all of them, so I have them. So as Catholics, before Catholics stopped doing it, this was done many years ago. People would have a blessed candle, a crucifix, and holy water. They would have these in their homes because, just remember, back in the day, many people passed in their home. So they had these things available for the priests that would come. So as Catholics, we got to bring back that tradition of blessed candles. Remember, it could be any, as long as the candle is blessed. Many people talk about candles that are made out of beeswax. You know, that's okay. But those are specifically, beeswax candles are for the sanctuary and the altar in the church.
Yeah, if you go to the USCCB website, they talk about that. And the USCCB, remember, they're the successors of the apostles. So if you say, well, I don't like what they said, well, too bad. Because guess what? The buck stops with them. And they've said in their website on blessed candles, it says, the blessed candles in the church used in the sanctuary must contain beeswax, but that doesn't apply to votive candles for the house. So let's go to the second visionary. She said a lot more. Venerable Elizabeth Canori Mora, a 19th century, another Italian mystic.
Blessed Elizabeth Canori Mora was born in 1774, and she lived in Italy until her saintly death in 1825. Thanks to her confessor, her revelations were preserved in hundreds of pages of her own writings. And today, the Trinitarian Fathers at San Carlino, Rome, hold her manuscripts for safekeeping in their archives. You know how they are guarding that with 100% security there. These writings were meticulously examined at length as a safeguard against doctrinal errors when Pope Blessed Pius IX authorized Elizabeth Canori Mora's cause for canonization to proceed. The ecclesiastical censor commissioned by the Holy See released his official judgment on November 5, 1900. It stated, quote, "There is nothing against faith and good customs, and no doctrinal innovation or deviation was found," end quote. Elizabeth Canori Mora was beatified in 1994. And John Paul II is the one that beatified her. Excuse me. Some of her prophecies are as follows. Here we go. We're getting to the meat of this. On Christmas, 1816, Blessed Elizabeth saw Our Lady, who appeared extremely sad. Upon inquiring why, Our Lady answered, "Behold, my daughter, such great ungodliness." Blessed Elizabeth then saw, quote, "apostates brazenly trying to rip her most holy son from her arms." Confronted with such an outrage, the Mother of God ceased to ask mercy for the world and instead requested justice from the Eternal Father. Whoa. Clothed in his inexorable justice and full of indignation, he turned to the world. At that moment, all nature went into convulsions. The world lost its normal order and was filled with the most terrible calamity unimaginable. This will be something so deplorable and atrocious that it will reduce the world to the ultimate depths of desolation. On the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, June 29, 1820, it's coming up, she saw St. Peter descending from heaven, robed in papal vestments and surrounded by a legion of angels. When his crozier, he drew great cross over the face of the earth, separating it into four quadrants. In each of these quadrants, He then brought forth a tree sprouting with new life. Each tree was in the shape of a cross and enveloped in magnificent light, and the good laity and religious fled for protection underneath these trees and were spared from the tremendous chastisement. Woe! Woe to those unobservant religious who despise their holy rules. Woo. They will all perish in the terrible chastisement together with all who give themselves to debauchery and follow the false maxims of their deplorable contemporary philosophy. The sky shook on a, the sky took on a morbid blue color, which terrified everyone who looked at it. A dark wind blew everywhere. An impassioned and mournful shrieking filled the air like the terrible roar of a fierce lion and resounded all over the earth in blood and curdling echoes. All men and animals brimmed with terror. The entire world convulsed and everyone pitilessly slaughtered one another. When this bloody fight will arrive, the vengeful hand of God will weigh upon these fated ones, and with his omnipotence, he will chastise the proud for their rashness and shameless insolence. God will use the powers of darkness to exterminate these sectarian, iniquitous, and criminal men who plot to eradicate the Catholic Church, our Holy Mother, by tearing her up by her deepest roots and casting her on the ground.
You're listening to Jesus 911, husband and wife team, Jess and Anita. We're talking about the 3 days of darkness, and we're actually quoting the two visionaries in their own words. So what's the relevance of the 3 days of darkness from these two visionaries? One's venerable, one's blessed. What's the relevance in our days? Well, it's clear from the two revelations that my wife has just shared with you that God has forewarned mankind of a great, terrible chastisement, along with Our Lady of Fatima. So we have three. And perhaps some of you say they're far-fetched, but in the face of such impiety and blasphemy in our day and age, desecration, corruption, and immorality that's pervasive in our times, it wouldn't surprise me that the world indeed deserves such grave punishment. Unfortunately, man has progressively slid down the slippery slope of pride and arrogance, and we've done far worse than the times of Maria Tighe and Elizabeth Canori. We're far worse now than we were back then. We'll be right back. We'll continue talking about the 3 days of darkness. We'll be giving you some solutions how to prepare for the 3 days of darkness. In the last segment, we'll be back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Oh.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, two-man car, husband and wife team, Jess and Anita, talking about the 3 days of darkness. What's the message of hope? Well, again, in these two prophecies, Our Lady of Fatima's message is very hopeful, because she talks about the triumph of her Immaculate Heart before the second coming of Christ. But we want to continue talking about Venerable Elizabeth Kanori Mori's vision of a great restoration which would follow after the earth's debacle is detailed as follows. So here's what she says. Then a beautiful splendor came over the earth to announce the reconciliation of God with mankind. The small flock of faithful Catholics, and remember, you want to be part of that small flock of faithful Catholics. Try to save as many people as you can by evangelizing them. But boy, oh boy, worry about your soul more than anything else, because if you're right with God, you're going to affect other people. So she says, the small flock of faithful Catholics who had taken refuge under the trees will be brought before St. Peter, who will choose a new pope. All the church will be reordered according to the true dictates of the Holy Gospel. The religious orders will be reestablished, and the homes of Christians will become homes imbued with religion. I can't wait till those days come back. She says, so great will be the fervor and zeal for the glory of God that everything will promote love of God and neighbor. The triumph, glory, and honor of the Catholic Church will be established in an instant. She will be acclaimed, venerated, and esteemed by all. All will resolve to follow her, the Catholic Church, recognizing the Vicar of Christ as a supreme pontiff. So she's talking about this great restoration, just like Our Lady of Fatima, that there's going to be a triumph after this time of chastisement. Now, we'll go on to Blessed Anna Maria Taigi.
Okay, here we go. Blessed Anna Maria Taigi spoke of this restoration in this following manner. After the 3 days of darkness, Saints Peter and Paul have come down from heaven, will preach throughout the world and designate a new pope. A great light will flash from their bodies and will settle upon the cardinal, the future pontiff. Christianity will spread throughout the whole world. Whole nations will join the church shortly before the reign of Antichrist. These conversions will be amazing. Those who shall survive shall have to conduct themselves well. There shall be innumerable conversions of heretics who will return to the bosom of the church. All will note the edifying conduct of their lives, as well as that of other Catholics. Russia, England, and China will come to the church. Wow.
Those are good. That's good news, especially in light of what China is doing right now to the world and the prophecies of Russia by Fatima, that they were that evil empire. So there's light at the end of the tunnel there by these prophecies, by the prophecies of Our Lady of Fatima. We know that Christ wins at the end. And it's good to hear these specific prophecies about the restoration. Something else that jumps out at me is that Blessed Anna Maria Taigi spoke about that innumerable conversions of heretics will return to the church. Who are the heretics? Those are Protestants. That's what Protestants used to be called before Vatican II. Before 1965, all the material on theology, we call them heretics. After Vatican II, the church calls them now separated brethren. So when you look at this these prophecies were way before Vatican II. So the word heretic in any prophecy before 1965 is a reference to Protestant Christians, because some of them are really, really trying to follow the truth as they understand it. They just haven't been given the fullness of the truth. So while the world faces a fearsome and terrible destruction in light of mankind's insolence and impiety, God assures us that he will not abandon those who are fearful to him. Oh, faithful to him. Thank you. Our Lady gave us the remedy at Fatima by asking for the daily recitation of the rosary, number one. So if you want to know, like, okay, how do we protect ourselves, Romero's? How do we do it? Okay? Our Lady of Fatima gave us a remedy to protect us. If these 3 days of darkness are true and come to pass, what do we do? Daily recitation of the rosary, the establishment of the first five Saturday devotions, that means going to Mass on the first five Saturdays, devotion to her Immaculate Heart, a prayer for life, penance, and amendment of life. These requests remain ever relevant and urgent, and we must continue to heed her maternal warnings. And amid the confusion of our days, let us remain steadfast and continue to hope, confide, and turn to our Lord and our Lady who is our mother of good counsel and our confidence, and we must always trust in her words and never tire in believing the words that she said, in the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. Mary said it, we believe it. Now, let's go into Jimmy Akin here. He did a little investigation, Anita. I want you to read what Jimmy Akin said about the 3 days of darkness. He's the chief apologist, the senior apologist at Catholic Answers, and he did a little investigation as to the Padre Pio alleged statement on the 3 days of darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a lot of confusion on this. So here we go. Here's the truth. Jimmy Akin. There are websites saying Father Pio spoke about 3 days of darkness. They feature quotations attributed to Father Pio regarding the supposed, quote, 3 days of darkness, end quote, that have been discussed among some students of private revelations. The first thing that leaps out regarding the Father Pio quotations is that no identifiable literary source is given for them. They are simply introduced by the statement, quote, words of Christ to Saint Father Pio, end quote, and concluded with Blessed Father Pio. Just when and where did Father Pio record these words? How do we know that he claimed to have received them from Christ at all? Without a trackable source, we don't know anything of the kind.
It's like this: when you write a college paper, which you know I know something about, and so does my wife. When you turn it in, the PE teachers are always going to ask you, where's your footnotes? Where's your sources? Quote your, and boy, oh boy, if you get caught writing something attributed that you got from some author and you don't attribute the source and the teacher knows about it, that's called plagiarism. You'll get an F in the class immediately. And some people have lost their careers over getting caught using sources from other people, not quoting the source. So that's what Jimmy Akin is saying. He's saying, every time I look at these websites that say St. Padre Pio talks about the 3 days of darkness, Jimmy Akin is saying, where's the footnote? There's no source for any of this. I kind of wish it was true myself, because he's more of he's a saint and the ultimate mystic. But the fact is, we can't be making stuff up as Catholics just because we lean towards. I mean, I think there's enough evidence for the 3 days of darkness without anybody saying Padre Pio said so. Again, there is no evidence. It's somebody just putting up websites with his name, and there's no traceable source. Jimmy Akin continues.
He continues, but I haven't done a great deal of research on the 3 days of darkness literature, but someone who has is Desmond Birch, author of Trial, Tribulation, and Triumph. It's a 600-page book on Catholic prophecy. The encyclopedia. Woo. I can't access the book as a whole because I haven't read it, but several priest friends of mine tell me that I have to read it. This is Jimmy Akin speaking, just to remind you. The author, Desmond Birch, who himself seems to favor the idea that there will be a, quote, 3 days of darkness, writes, one, Father Pio did not predict 3 days of darkness.
Let me mention one thing. I got a lot of priest friends that are into prophecy, and they've been pushing this book on me for years. It's written by Queenship Publishing, and the reason I don't want to tackle it, it's a thick book, it's 600 pages, and one of these days I'll read it, but I've been told by some very, very holy priests myself, they're saying, if you want one book on Catholic prophecy, that's the one-stop shop. He goes through the fathers, one chapter. He goes through the popes. He goes through the mystics. He goes through the doctors of the church. It is the most comprehensive book on Catholic end time prophecy ever put together by Desmond Birch. You can see him on the internet. I've seen him interviewed on EWTN by Doug Keck. On there's the old interviews because the book was written like 10 years ago. So he's all over the internet being interviewed on that book by on EWTN and other good Catholic sites. So we'll continue. What else did Jimmy Akin write on this his investigation?
I just want to add that God, the beauty of the Catholic Church is so wonderful. Any question you have, they have it answered. It's just a matter of the research. And here we go. Jimmy Akin continues. There are printed materials containing prophecy of 3 days of darkness, which attribute to such a prophecy to Father Pio. But the author, i.e. Birch, has in his possession sworn documents from the Capuchin Order stating that no such prophecy ever emanated from Father Pio. All the author's attempts to track down an authentic source from Father Pio have led to the conclusion that some persons or person either accidentally or willfully created these attributions of such a prophecy to Father Pio. And that's in his book, Trial, Tribulation, and Triumph, on page 283, just in case you want to go directly to that source.
Now, there's other self-proclaimed mystics that have spoken of the 3 days of darkness, but we're not going to quote them here because, number one, they're not recognized by the church as mystics, and they're not in the process of canonization either. So the 3 days of darkness, this is, I think, why I believe it. My wife believes in the 3 days of darkness. It's because the 3 days of darkness is going to happen, according to these mystics, before a time of enlightenment. That's a recurring theme in the Bible. And this directly points again to the 3 days of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection, starting with his agony on Friday. Jesus had to endure terrible suffering before his death on the cross and on Good Friday, on Holy Saturday, and he even descended into Sheol itself in order to free the captives that were in prison there. And then we have his glorious resurrection on the third day. So again, we have that three-day theme in Christ's passion. We know that Jonah, the prophet, he was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and three nights. That also prefigures the resurrection. And there's a lot of biblical sources. St. Paul was blind for 3 days before he began his new life in Christ. And we also know in the book of Revelation that two witnesses will be sent before the end of the time. And they will be killed in the streets of Rome for 3 days before they're brought back to life. We'll be right back. 911.
Hands-on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. Husband and wife team here on Friday talking about spiritual warfare issues. We've just been talking about the three days of darkness. Now, I believe because God is our Father and Our Lady's our Mother, I have no doubt that if this happens, the 3 days of darkness, we're going to be warned. God is going to warn us. He always does that. I just remember when Jerusalem was about to be destroyed by the Romans, the legions were driving in. And what happened? The tradition of the church is that an angel went to Jerusalem and told all the Catholic Christians, leave, flee the city. It's going to be destroyed by the Roman army. All the Catholic Christians, they fled north to a small city called Pella. They were warned by angels. The other Jews that rejected Christ, they stood there and they were decimated by the Roman army. God always warns his people. So don't be all paranoid about, oh no. First of all, this is just a private revelation that both of us believe is going to happen based on the scriptural data in the past. But again, God loves us and Our Lady loves us, and we'll be warned. He always warns his people when something like this is going to happen. But Arnita, I want to talk now more about how to protect yourself. Let's just say if there's 3 days of darkness, let's just say it's a fact, a prophetical fact that is going to happen, which I believe it is. Okay. Father Ripperger has written a series of instructions in a website called auxiliumchristianorum.org. Him and other exorcists, he's not the only one, the team of exorcists. auxiliumchristianorum.org, if you go to that website, and that's Latin, auxiliumchristianorum, which means helpofchristians.org, you have 10 requirements there. And if you're doing them, me and my wife have been following this for several years, if you're doing this, you're going to be protected against anything, pestilence, plagues, 3 days of darkness, the Antichrist. If you're doing this, you're going to be protected, Anita. So let's go through some of these things that we should be doing to protect ourselves, just to keep our house protected from the diabolical and from evil days.
Absolutely. One of them is reciting the Auxilium Christianorum prayers. Those are prayers of protection. Father Ripperger, Jesse just mentioned that, is the one that, and his team formulated these prayers of protection. That's one of the prayers that we should be praying every night. If not in the morning, that's, I think for me and Jesse, we both pray that at night before we lay our heads to rest. Also, sanctifying grace, how are we going to do that? It's a habitual life. In other words, we need to be going every, at least once a month, to confession, receiving our Lord at least once a week on Sundays. So that's how we can habitate our life towards the sacraments.
And remember, to live in a state of sanctifying grace means, it's here simple, to be free from mortal sin. Free from mortal sin. I'm going to say it again, free from mortal sin. Flee mortal sin. Flee any sin. But the good thing is God is so merciful that at night, before you go to bed, if you do an act of contrition, guess what happens with an act of contrition? Your venial sins are forgiven. They're remitted. Not your mortal sins, your venial sins. So when we say live in a state of grace, we're saying don't fall in, stay away from mortal sin. And you know what mortal sin is. Look at the Ten Commandments and look at the seven deadly sins. We commit venial sins throughout the day because we're weak, because of our concupiscence. So at night, say an act of contrition and your venial sins are remitted. So we're going through how to protect. If you protect yourself, your house is going to be protected from the diabolical. or from 3 days of darkness or anything that you know happens to us in the future.
Our next one would be praying the rosary, the Holy Rosary. Pray that every day. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it takes you, as long as you pray the rosary. And also in addition, because that's a meditative prayer, and that's when we focus on the life of Christ, the sorrowful mysteries, the glorious mysteries, the luminous mysteries, the joyful mysteries. We're focusing on his life and his glory. And also, in addition to outside of that meditative prayer, they also suggest 15 minutes of meditation, sitting and focusing on Christ, gazing on his kingship, in his glory. If you can do it in front of the Blessed Sacrament, great. If you can't, find a quiet place where you can just focus, close your eyes and focus on a picture or whatever it is that you have, 15 minutes of meditation. Here, Father Ripperger says that focusing on the meditation is very effective in driving out demonic and avoiding demonic oppression. So that's another way. I do that every day, and it brings peace and solace to my soul, regardless what has happened throughout the day, because the day you can really get involved in the day where it's, you know, your emotions are up and down like a roller coaster. Well, meditation really just brings that back and gets you refocused on Christ.
Talking about spiritual warfare, the demons attack. The sexual demons of perversion, I don't want to mention their names. The names are awful. But that's the most acute attack, especially for a man. Father Ripperger says the best thing to do if you want to break pornography, pray the sorrowful mysteries. Why the sorrowful? Because the sorrowful mysteries focus you on the five wounds of Christ. Father Ripperger says, if you meditate upon the five wounds of Christ every day in the rosary, and really in your mind, I mean, bring up the movie, The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson in your mind. Every single scene, just look at it graphically, and as you're praying the sorrowful mysteries, meditate on what Jesus Christ did for us and how much he bled for us and the pain he went through. Father Ripperger says if a person who's struggling with pornography does that every day, boom, that meditation will break their bond to this diabolical sexual perversion. So, again, that's just one for men. We continue on how to keep yourself and your house protected from the diabolical. And, again, the 3 days of darkness, this says that there's going to be demons right outside your house. So this is a spiritual warfare remedy that we're giving here.
Again, you want to increase your devotion to our Lady. Pray to her every day, all day. Especially by that, you're obviously praying your rosary. So that's how you increase your devotion. Also, your guardian angel. Many of us have them unemployed. We need to call on our guardian angel every day to be by our side in the morning. In the morning and at night, Jesse and I do that every day. We call on, and the Exum Christian Orum allows that. It's part of their prayers, their prayer protocol there, and it has prayers to your guardian angel. So you should be calling on your guardian angel in the morning and night, and throughout the day if you feel there's fear or there's something going on, and you need this extra protection. And you can even call in your guardian angel to help other people. You know, guardian angel, talk to their guardian angel so they can, because they need help with whatever, or whatever your intercessory prayer is for them.
One of the ways to increase your Marian devotion is wear a Marian sacramental. Wear a sacramental. And also, how do you increase your Marian devotion? Do the Angelus. That way you're praying other times. The Angelus is done at 6, 12, and 6. I'll be honest with you, I'm waking up like at 6:30, so I miss the 6 o'clock one, okay? But my wife doesn't. She's early. I'm sure she does a 6 a.m. one. I do the so that's how I'm working on increasing my Marian devotion. And also, the guardian angel prayer, as I do it in the morning and the evening. And again, there's a principle in spiritual warfare. It goes like this. Angels come when they are called. Angels come when they are called. Demons come where they're not resisted. So we have to call our guardian angels. That's the way God has set it up. Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. We have to call them. Demons are just kind of, they're already doing what's called a full court press. You've got to resist them. Angels have to be called. Demons have to be resisted. Remember that, because that's exactly what prayer does. Prayer is calling angels, and it's driving away demons.
I just want to mention something about the three days of darkness. I think, what do we do when this actually happens? Well, you only have one candle lit. What is there to do? Grab your rosary and pray. Pray. Call on your guardian angel to protect you. Pray your rosary. Do the litanies. There's so much. I mean, we have to make up for the prayer that we're not doing when the 3 days of darkness has not happened. So that's something for you that, and just, you know, I think that's what we're called to do at those 3 days is pray, 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 pray. There's nothing else. What else is there?
Here's what I would do. If 3 days of darkness happened, you know what I would do? And anybody who was at my house, we have so many prayers in the church, but also what I would do, I'd get the Bible. I'd read through the entire Psalms. That would take hours. I'd read through the entire Psalms. I would also go through the entire four Gospels right there during the 3 days of darkness. Nothing's going to work. I would be reading I'd go through all the four Gospels and go through all the New Testament nonstop. The only time I would stop is to go to sleep or close my eyes for a little while. But I would basically go through the entire New Testament in my hand and all the book of Psalms. I would just keep on blasting the air with the Word of God, because that's what you do when you're reading the Bible and you're praying. You're projecting holy prayers into the air, and you're routing and driving demons back.
And designate different people at different times to pray, so you can go in a loop, and everybody can pray and share nonstop. This should be nonstop prayer for the 3 days.
What's the last thing? We got about a minute, Anita. One more thing you want to share real quick?
Last thing is having a statue of Our Lady, St. Michael, in your home, St. Joseph, all the statues, that those are the main ones that we need to have in our home, and for their veneration, and candles. Have blessed candles in your home. I have one blessed candle. It's at the entry of our home, and it's under our collage of crucifixes. That's where I have our candle, and the opposite side of that wall, and we have pictures of Our Lady of Sorrows, our Mary wall, Our Lady of Grace. So there you go.
Okay. We've been talking about 3 days of darkness. Jesus 911, spiritual warfare, Catholic style. Jess and Anita signing out. 10-7. We're off duty, out of service. Thank you for tuning in to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. If you like this program, like us, hit the subscribe button, share the show with others. And up next, stick around. Don't turn that dial. We got the big guy, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center. Other than that, well, have a blessed weekend. And we'll see you next week. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep safe.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.